morning, everybody. Just before we get started with this morning's service, I just wanted to draw attention to one of the intimations in the order of service, and it's also displayed at the end today. Next week, our theme is going to be being wealthy in Christ and also about living abundantly and all the things that we can do in relation to that. So next week, everybody is more than welcome to join us for tea and coffee. It's not a fundraiser at all, but it was just to make you aware that any money that's given in the usual tea and coffees will be going to Christian Aid, just as a sign of us sharing our wealth that we have just with the wider Christian faith. So, as I say, the intimation will be on the screen. It is in the order of service, and next week, all are welcome to come through and join in the fellowship. Thank you.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. A very warm and special welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. You have the intimations in the order of service, which I'm sure is in your hands. And after the service, we are all invited for teas and coffees at our church hall. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 458, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Let us pray. Gracious and ever faithful God, You are the one who brought our ancestors out of bondage and into promise, the one who calls us even now to walk in your ways, not out of duty alone, but as a living response to your steadfast love. We come before you today, the last Sunday in July, with hearts full of gratitude for your goodness and mercy that have sustained us thus far. We thank you for the blessings of this past month, for the strength to rise each morning, for the quiet acts of kindness we have received, and for the fellowship of this, your church in Newport-on-Tay. You have been our shelter, our guide, and our hope. And yet, Lord, we confess how easily we forget. Like the Israelites of old, we are quick to cry out in need, but slow to remember your deliverance when the storm has passed. We chase after comfort more than character, convenience more than covenant. Forgive us for the times we have heard your word but chosen our own way. Forgive us when obedience has felt like a burden, and when we have failed to pass on the stories of your faithfulness to the next generation. Have mercy on us, Lord, and cleanse us from all that keeps us distant from you and one another. Renew in us a holy fear, not of punishment, but of forgetting who you are and who you have called us to be. As we prepare to enter a new month, we pray for better days ahead, days of healing, renewal, and deeper trust in you. We remember especially today those in our church family and wider community who have recently passed into your eternal presence. Thank you for their lives, their witness, and the love they shared with us. Comfort the grieving, uphold the weary, and let the hope of the resurrection be our strength in sorrow. In your grace, Lord, lead us from this moment onwards with reverence and with joy, knowing that you who brought us out will surely bring us in. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
Good morning, children.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Good. We are very few in church today, and conspicuously absent are members of the man's family. Where are they? Let's begin our morning address with a few questions. Have you ever played the game Simon Says? Yeah. Do you like it? It's okay at your age right now. Beautiful answer. So what happens if you don't do exactly what Simon says? You're out. If you don't do what Simon says, you are out. Now, another question. Have you ever tested your parents by saying, for example, do I need to clean my room right now? Have you ever done that? Yes, 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 yes. Like testing them, you want to see how they feel. Now, have you ever promised to do something and then completely forgot? Yes, no. You promised that you were going to do something, but you completely forgot. Or maybe you just did not want to do it. For example, I'll go to bed early, but you stay up late. You kind of do that, but you are reading. Oh, that's good. If you are not going to bed early because you are reading, I think it's a good thing, but you still need to go to bed early. The brain needs to rest. In the book of Deuteronomy, there is a story about the Israelites who had left Egypt. And Moses is reminding the people that they did not come out of Egypt just to wander around or to be confused. They were brought out of Egypt because God wanted to do something new for them. And he wants to them to remember that. Then he says something which is very important, that if they do what is right, then things will go well with them. First, remember that you did not come out of Egypt to wander around or to be confused, but because God wanted to bring something new to you. And if you remember that, you have to be good. If you do what God tells you to do, if you do what is right, then all will go well with you. I think God has done so many good things for us. Do you think so? Yes. What are some of the things that we enjoy, we think God has done for us? What has God done for us? God has given us life. Okay? God has given us life. The air we breathe, the things we enjoy, we were just singing now, all things bright and beautiful. He gave us eyes to see and lips to tell. How great is God Almighty. And he says, because God has done all these things for us, we should keep his commandments. We should do what is right. And if we do what is right, he will even do better things for us. So one of the things we learn from this is that even when we are not happy, we can still thank God. We can still pray and say, thank you, God. So memory is a gift from God. And all of us, when we remember what God has done for us, then we have to be good. And we have to continue to do what is right and pleasing in God's sight. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, we give you thanks for your love for us and for the freedom which we have in Christ. We thank you for our worship in this place, for our children, and for their young minds. We pray that you continue to open them to your word, that they do not just hear but are willing to do what you call them to do. We trust, O God, that you are faithful in keeping your promises in our lives and in the lives of our children. Continue to bless us, bless them, and uphold them with your victorious right hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 17 to 25, and you can find this on page 186 of the Pew Bibles or on the overhead. Deuteronomy 6, 17 to 25. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And our second reading is from the New Testament. It's Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. And you can find this on page 1170 of the Pew Bibles or on the overhead. Galatians 3, 23 to 29. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. And our next praise will be Standing on the Promises of Christ, My King.
Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, as we reflect from your word, open also our hearts and minds. Shine your light upon the scriptures that we may hear not only ancient commands, but living truth for our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, friends. Good morning, friends. I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, the grace that levels the ground. The grace that levels the ground. They say rules are there to keep us safe and society in shape. But have you ever tried crossing a street at a zebra crossing and still nearly gotten run over? Clearly, rules don't always guarantee results. And if you have ever assembled IKEA furniture, you will know the golden rule. If all else fails, blame the Allen key. But even more amusing is how we treat laws like spiritual flat packs. We read all the religious instructions, tighten every moral screw, align every doctrinal shelf, and yet something still wobbles, something feels unfinished. Now listen to this delightful legal insight by the late Lord Denning, one of Britain's most brilliant legal minds. This is what he said. The law is not an end in itself, but a means to justice. And if it ceases to serve justice, it must be reformed or set aside. It is a striking observation, and Paul would have nodded in approval, though perhaps with a Galilean twinkle in his eyes. In Galatians 3:23-29, Paul addresses people who believed that following the law to the letter would give them a solid standing before God. But here is the twist. The law was never meant to be the final structure. It was the scaffolding. Christ is the finished building. So yes, rules are useful. They give form. They keep the screws from flying everywhere. But they cannot do what grace alone can do. Make us heirs, reconcile us fully, and level the ground under all our feet. Male and female, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, posh and not so posh. Because at the end of the day, it is not the law that makes us stand firm. It is Christ, the one in whom all the parts come together, even when we feel a bit like spiritual flat packs ourselves. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul is not rejecting the law's value. He's rejecting the mistaken belief that the law can save. The law, Paul argues, is like a household garden or guardian, a kind of moral tutor that protects and points us in the right direction. But like any good tutor, its job is to prepare us for someone greater, for Christ. In this case, the law can point us toward life, but it cannot give us life. It can identify what is wrong, but it cannot make us right. It can diagnose sin, but it cannot heal it. For that, we need the grace of God. The Galatians were being drawn into a theology that placed the law, not Christ, at the center. In doing so, they were missing the heart of the gospel. Paul's concern was not simply theological, it was pastoral. When the church ties its identity too tightly to human customs like circumcision or dietary laws, it risks excluding the very people Christ came to include. The law becomes a gatekeeper instead of a guide, and Paul refuses to let that happen. In Christ, Paul writes, "You are all children of God, through faith. This declaration explodes the boundaries that once defined social and spiritual status. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What once was used to divide ethnicity, social class, gender, has now been overwhelmed by the unity of grace. As one of my famous authors, N.T. Wright, writes or reminds us, justification is not simply about how sins are forgiven. It is about how people belong in the family of God. My dear friends, in a world often obsessed with identity markers, economic class, education, race, even denominational affiliation, Paul reminds us that the truest mark of belonging is being in Christ. That is not to say that our differences disappear, but that they no longer define our worth. The church, then, is not called to erase diversity, but to transfigure it to reflect the richness of God's creation, united in love. As we wrestle with Paul's challenge in this passage, we are invited not only to examine our spiritual assumptions, but also to reflect on how laws, both divine and human, function in shaping our lives. The apostle's words compel us to consider what we might be clinging to as the basis for our acceptance before God. Is it our religious discipline? Our social pedigree, our doctrinal purity, our respectable lifestyle. Now, let us step back and consider the broader frame. In many of our modern democracies, the laws of the land are designed with noble intent to protect the vulnerable, ensure justice, and maintain order. And yet, time and again, we witness how these laws can be bent, sometimes subtly, sometimes blatantly, towards self-interest and exclusion. Legal loopholes shield the rich while the poor languish in bureaucratic nightmares. Immigration policies that once offered hope now trap families in stateless despair. Voter suppression, discriminatory policing, and economic exploitation. These are just a few examples of how the very systems meant to uphold fairness are sometimes wielded as instruments of fear and division. We must be honest, this is not new. From ancient empires to colonial regimes to modern parliaments, human laws are often used to preserve privilege and power. And if we are not careful, we can begin to treat God's laws the same way, as a gatekeeper rather than a guide, as a weapon rather than a witness to divine mercy. But God's laws were never meant to be a ladder to heaven or a badge of superiority. It was and remains a tutor, pointing us to Christ, the one who fulfills the law by embodying its true spirit, love, justice and mercy. In Christ, we don't earn our belonging, we inherit it. We are not loved because we have performed well, we are loved because we are His. Take, for example, the story of Martin Luther, the 16th century monk whose soul was tormented by the demand for perfection under church law. Luther tried everything, fasting, confession, and penance, to make himself acceptable to God. But it was when he read Paul's letters, especially Galatians and Romans, that he realized righteousness comes by faith, not by merit. And that discovery did not just liberate Luther, it sparked the Protestant Reformation, a movement that shaped Christian identity around grace, not works, freedom, not fear. So what does this mean for us now? here at the edge of July, staring into the horizon of a new month. It means we must stop using God's commandments as filters to determine who is worthy and who is not, as if God's love were a private club with a strict dress code. The law, even at its best, was never given to create a spiritual elite. It was given, as Moses reminded the people in Deuteronomy 6, for our good, always, that he might preserve us alive. The law was meant to cultivate justice, mercy, and reverence, not suspicion, hierarchy, or harm. And now to those who have been wounded by the misuse or misrepresentation of the law, whether in the church or the public square, hear this. God's justice is not a gavel slammed in condemnation, but a hand extended in mercy. His law, rightly understood through the lens of Christ, does not fence you out, but draws you in. Moses told the Israelites to obey God's commands so that it will go well with you. But that goodness, that flourishing, was always tied to remembering God's saving acts, how he brought them out of slavery, out of darkness, out of death. And the same is true today. When we walk in love, God's love, then truly it goes well with us. Because love does what law alone cannot. It heals the soul, binds the broken, and opens doors once shut tight. So as we come to the close of July and walk into August, the eighth month of this journey called 2025, may you become a vessel of that redeeming love. Seek out the forgotten. Speak peace where rules have wounded. Offer grace where judgment has silenced. And remember, no law can disqualify what Christ has already claimed. This week, be the grace someone did not know they needed. Listen with patience. Walk with humility. Love without agenda. Because in the end, it is not the law that defines us. It is the love of God, written not on stone tablets, but on human hearts. And that, beloved, is the hope that carries us forward. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that your love does not depend on our achievements, our background, or our perfect understanding. Thank you for the gift of faith that makes us your children. Help us to live into the unity you have already given us in Christ, and make us instruments of that grace in a divided world. Teach us to embrace others as you have embraced us, in mercy, in truth, and in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nearer, my God, to thee is our next hymn. The words are printed on the order of service. It's Mission Praise 482. Please be seated. Let us pray. Faithful and delivering God, you have brought us out from sin, fear, and all that enslaves us, not simply to set us free, but to bring us into your promises of new life, purpose, and joyful obedience. And now, in gratitude for your grace and mercy, we bring these offerings. We dedicate them to you and to your service, O Lord, not as tokens to earn your favor, but as signs that we remember what you have done for us. Use these gifts to tell the story of your salvation to others. Use them to build up this congregation in Newport-on-Tay, to support those in need, and to pass on faith to the next generation. As we give, remind us that we are not owners but stewards. You brought us out so we might live generously, walk humbly, and serve faithfully. Accept what we offer today, our resources, our time, and our hearts, for the glory of Christ in whom we have been brought near. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. Lord our God, you are the one who brings out and brings in. You led your people from Egypt to the edge of the promised land. You lead us still out of fear into courage, out of despair into hope, out of death into life. And so we come to you with our prayers for the world, for the church, and for our community. We pray for our world, where so many are still wandering in the wildernesses of war, poverty, and injustice. Bring peace where there is conflict, justice where there is oppression, and comfort where people cry out in fear. We pray for the church across the world here in Newport-on-Tay. May we never forget why you have delivered us. May our freedom in Christ lead to deeper faithfulness, not casual complacency. Empower us to be a people of compassion, truth, and testimony. Let us not grow weary in doing good, nor silent in sharing your story. We pray for those among us who have been hurt by systems that misuse the law, by churches that confuse obedience with control, and by relationships that stifled rather than set free. Bring healing where wounds remained and renew our trust in your justice and mercy. We pray especially for the young and the searching, that we may be living witnesses to your grace, telling them that you have done what you have done and showing them who you are. Help us to pass on not just words but lives shaped by your love. And now we look forward to moving into a new month and a new chapter in the days ahead. We ask for the courage to step fully into what you are bringing us, deeper faith, greater compassion, and new opportunities to serve. May this church, this community, and each of our lives reflect the truth that you brought us out to bring us in. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.